Hey, sweetie, your mother showed me this Carvana thing for selling the car. I'm going to give it a try. Wish me luck. Me again. I put in the license plate. It gave me an offer. Unbelievable. Okay, I accepted the offer. They're picking it up Tuesday from the driveway. I haven't even left my chair. It's done. The car is gone. I'm holding a check. Anyway, Carvana, give it a whirl. Love ya.
So good, you'll want to leave a voicemail about it. Sell your car today on
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.
Kurt, I've got to tell you, we both know there is just absolutely massive political news right now that Eric Swalwell has not only decided to suspend his campaign for governor, but he is now resigning Congress. In his statement that he put out today, following massive allegations of not only sexual assault and harassment, but as far as rape allegations against the soon-to-be disgraced former congressman Eric Swalwell. In his statement, he said that he thought that, you know, the vote of expulsion that might be coming without due process was a problem, but he didn't really want to distract. And I mean, I'd love to get your feelings. I think we're probably really on the same page about a lot of this, but man, oh man, what a career flame out.
I mean, again, this is one of the most rapid falls from grace I think I've ever politically seen in my life. 72 hours ago, he was a front runner to be the next governor of California, the fourth largest economy in the world, the largest state of the union, certainly the largest concentration of Democrats in the country. And now he's not only out of the race for governor, he's out of a job completely.
He's not completely out of the race for governor. He suspended his campaign, but he's still on the ballot.
That's true. But he's toast. I think we all know. As my kids would say, he's cooked. And full disclosure, I used to consult for Eric Swalwell. So I know Eric. I thought I knew Eric pretty well. Clearly, I didn't. I've been thinking a lot today about the very first day I had on Capitol Hill. It was July 5th, 2006. My guy had just won an election, a special election to replace a congressman who had resigned in disgrace. A Republican named Duke Cunningham ended up going to jail for corruption. And I'll never forget walking into the Rayburn Building, into our office, and what was left of the staff of Duke Cunningham, literally turning over the keys to the office to us, and just that shell-shocked look that they had on their face. It dawned on me, and I was in my early 20s back then, just like how tied our own professional fortunes, if you will, are so connected to the rise and fall of these members, how much trust we put in them. And there is that, you know, we're young, we're out of college, we're inspired to be in Washington, we're looking for someone
idealistic.
To mentor us.
You're
we're
not
very
jaded
West Wing.
Yet. You
we're
still
not.
Assume the best in the world.
We believe. And I think for someone who's in that position to really affect the trajectory and vector of these kids' lives, to go in and abuse that, to take advantage of that, to prey and hunt on that, it is such a betrayal. And in moments like this, I oftentimes think of the staff who are left behind, shell-shocked, who right now work for the office of the 14th Congressional District of California. Yeah. And who have that stain on their resume now, who any job interview, and we've all gone through some life cycle of this, when they see that on your resume, go, oh, what's the story there? Like it is something that is attached to you like an unreasonable tattoo. And, it is as someone who, again, believed in what seemed to be Eric's mission of fighting for accountability, transparency, fighting for victims of the Epstein class, all of that, to then turn around and have this complete other side of you that is no better than that which you seem to call out politically. I mean, it is disgusting. It is despicable. It is beyond anything I could have imagined, actually. No matter what you think of Eric Swalwell politically or what vibes he may get off or farting on TV, as I know you used to tweet a lot about.
He did fart on TV. The video exists. You can audibly hear that man.
I know. Okay. Let's not get off track with that nonsense. But this.
You brought it up.
I know. I should have known better. This level of just vileness and disgusting and ugliness is... it's irredeemable. And again, it's a massive betrayal to anyone who has worked you know, for a member of Congress. And I think my issue here of like the resignation is too good for you. Like you deserve the stigma of being expelled. And absolutely. Oh, by the way, so do a few other members who are out there right now who have
that's kind of where my thought process is going on this now moving forward is one, we might actually be facing some kind of reckoning on Capitol Hill that is long overdue because that. Even if you kick Swalwell out, even if you kick the other three members that have been floated as possibilities for expulsion in this movement you're seeing right now, you're not getting the trash out of Congress and you're really not changing anything for staff. Right now, if there's an investigation, it's done by members of Congress and payouts are hidden on taxpayer dollars. So we don't know where the problems are here in the U.S. Congress. But right now, we do know that these allegations against Eric Swalwell are serious. And I will say to your point about his staff being left behind here, that staff did step forward and immediately say, like, people can't quit. They can't afford to lose their jobs right now, but we don't agree with him. I think that's going to help a lot of these kids in that transition away from this job. And ultimately, this wasn't widespread corruption. This wasn't insider trading. This was Swalwell's bad actions and his egregious actions, his disgusting actions. Those should not reflect on the staffer because those were the decisions of the member. And as soon as the staff found out, everybody tried to get out of that office. So you know, some of that you kind of hope, but you do, they will. Like they did work for him. That will be with them. And so I hope that not only are we looking at this reckoning, hopefully, of members and figuring out who's doing what where, but whether or not that expulsion still goes forward. Because right now they're going to expel two Republicans and one Democrat if they did that versus the two and two, right? And it's like... Right. Does the leadership in the House on both sides have the backbone to stand up and say the right thing to do is this?
They should. They better. I mean, again, this is something where to be like, I don't give a crap if you're an R&D. If you have these types of, you know, behaviors going on, like go to hell, get the hell out of the people's house. You don't deserve to be there. I think that this is a moment. And it would be a wasted moment if they just let he resigned. So let's move on to something else now. And it's like, no, like this is the moment to clean house. And they need to put in place legitimate oversight. Like they're not qualified to police themselves. Clearly.
Yeah. Clearly.
And I really think that you know, if there's a way to make public the credible investigations of this nature that happened to members of Congress over the last 10 to 20 years, make it public. Like, I want all of them out. Because, again, we should be holding these people to a higher standard, not a lower standard. You know, what would happen in just everyday private enterprise if an accusation like this happens? There is an investigation. You are put on leave. Like, there is a third, they hire a white shoe law firm outside of the building to investigate, right? Like, Congress doesn't do that. And maybe they need to, because clearly they're incapable of managing themselves as an institution.
Absolutely. I think that Congress needs to remove itself from the equation because institutions are built to protect themselves. Look at the crown. Look at the royal family in England right now, right? You see them doing everything they can to protect the institution of the crown, and they're happy to throw Andrew Mountbatten Windsor right under the bus and roll it back and forth over him to protect the institution of the crown and not necessarily get justice or hold Andrew to account if he did anything illegal or did any bad actions, right? They're more interested in it's the same thing in on the Hill. That is an institution meant to protect itself and its people. And we both know that this is not even the tip of the iceberg. This is not even a small amount of what is happening.
There's an avalanche of this. And it's subtle things. And I think a lot of people don't think about it this way. But imagine being 22, out of college, no real work experience. You get transported to Washington, D.C., the trappings of our country, all that rich history, walking through the halls of Congress. And in between an event, your boss says, hey, we got like an hour before our next thing. Let's go grab a bite or let's go grab a drink. And you think, oh, that's harmless. There's nothing to that. And then it progresses from there. And maybe it's a little flirtatious. Like there are so many lines here that if you are 22, particularly, you're not equipped to know how to manage that. And then what happens if you're like, you know, no thanks, I'm good. Well, now all of a sudden you might be, the congressman's no longer comfortable traveling with you. The congressman's no longer comfortable with you one-on-one. You get labeled, maybe you're difficult. It's like, there are all these subtle ways.
Welcome to being a woman. Welcome to being a woman. This is exactly what it's like. I have had plenty of bosses tell me, as males, I cannot staff them alone. And I would rather have that be the rule, because they don't even want the look of the opportunity of impropriety. Talking to you, Mike Vrabel. Right? Mm-hmm. Patriots head coach out there holding hands with a reporter.
Right?
They don't even want the look of impropriety, the opportunity for the look of impropriety. Yes. Does that eliminate some opportunities I would get as a woman because I'm not allowed in every space the same way other people are? Yeah, absolutely. But I would rather have that than be sexually harassed or questioned about a relationship with a boss. Than have anything else happen. And so, yes, it does mean as a woman, you do get less opportunities sometimes. But and it's not to excuse bad behavior. If somebody does sexually harass you, they should be gone.
Absolutely.
But it is to say it's so common, especially in this industry. I can't even tell you how many times I've been sexually harassed, sexually assaulted.
I know.
It's people get a little too cozy sometimes.
Yeah, and like I said, it's not okay. There's no scenario where it's okay. And I'll, as a man, I'm going to tell you, I will acknowledge, like, it's absolute bullshit that women have to think of these things, and women have to have the vigilance to, like, not put yourselves in that situation. You should never be in the situation, never your fault. But still, trying to avoid those situations is something that women have to think about. Men never have to worry about that. Men never
and
have
also,
to think about it.
Yeah. And also, like, the man versus women thing. And Kurt, I know you'll agree with me on this. No woman wants a dick pic.
Oh, my God. What the fuck? I'm sorry. Like, I'm a red-blooded American male. I don't understand why any man thinks woman on this earth wants to receive on their phone a picture of your dick. They don't. Them on. And what do women do with that, most likely, Aaron?
Give it to their friends. Let's share it around.
Right.
Let's all get a little laugh here at somebody. Mm-hmm. And the internet lives forever. Forever. Yes. You take that dick pic, man, oh man. And like, and he sent it, like, and apparently he was allegedly whipping it out in the car in front of the intern. It's like, that level of disgusting, egregious behavior is the fact that, like, it's so gross. It's so gross on so many levels that it's almost hard to imagine that there is an elected official who would behave like that. But unfortunately, in D.C.,
there are quite a few, I suspect. And again, like, just saying, if you're a guy and you're listening to this right now, don't ever do it. It's not a turn on. Just telling you right now, not the way
to go. It's not. And while before we wrap this up, to any person who was a victim here, I hope you get the help you need. I hope you get the assistance you need and the justice you deserve, and that everybody is held to account. Because if you are working in Congress and you were sexually assaulted, harassed, or raped by a member, that is a systemic failure, and one that a person should have never been put in the situation for. And so that's the biggest point.
No, 100%. I mean, I talked to someone today who was a very high up person in Eric's organization for a really long time, hasn't been for a second, but used to be, who was so upset that the person who was allegedly assaulted didn't think that she could go to this person and tell them that didn't think that, like, because this person told me that I would have walked her right to the police station right there. And I feel like I failed my team, that anyone would have thought that I would have sided with Eric over a story like that. Like, that stuff is absolutely brutal. And, you know, and again, not to make it a political thing, but there are politics involved. You know, the other part of this, and speaking now as a partisan Democrat, you have created, through your recklessness, selfishness, sick mind, perhaps, a situation where now the potential that the standard bearer of the largest state with the largest amount of Democrats could be a billionaire is just mind-boggling to me, by the way. There's a lot of human stuff going on here, and I'm not dismissing that. But, you know, we're political operators, and I tweeted this earlier, so I'm comfortable saying this. I can't think of a bigger gift to Republicans than if Democrats elect Tom Steyer to be the governor of California. You can't get further away from the AOC, Mondami, no billionaires, attack, you know, affordability, wealth crisis. And any Republican would just say, well, it's funny that you say that because leader of your resistance, California, is a billionaire. Like, what a shit show in California.
I mean, listen, that whole ballot's a mess. Not only, so what? Eric Swalwell's out now. It leaves you mm-hmm. with Katie Porter, who is known for harassment.
I've heard there's more on her coming, too, for what it's worth.
Is known for, like, assault with food against her ex-husband, like hot mashed potatoes or something she threw at him.
I don't know.
Like,
I mean, it depends on the husband. Eric Swalwell deserves some hot mashed potatoes right now.
Well, yeah, he probably does. Yeah, but, like, not a great bench on that ticket. And if you're looking at Democrats across 2028, nice segue here. We saw this last week, a little Kamala pop up.
She's
a little
back.
2028 flirting. I can't imagine a worse candidate for Democrats, although they're real race to the bottom across the country.
I can think of some worse ones now. See, I think you've hit rock bottom, we seem to keep moving that metric. But I will say this about Kamala. I'll never understand why she didn't run for governor of California, because she would have won in a cakewalk,
it's
in my
the
opinion.
Gavin Newsom of it all. It's because her and Gavin were on the same path at the same time, so they kept Gavin in the state, sent her to D.C. She would be going from the vice presidency to the governor's mansion, which in her mind is a step down, because
disagree.
She was the second in line to run the country. I mean, and to
vice presidency,
like, take it
is
over.
the worst job in America. Just ask J.D. Vance. Like, I think
well,
being the chief
over,
executive
though, after Newsom was governor and he would be running
and his
president,
record as governor, like, was horrible.
Her ego's never going to let her do that.
This is where I think ego gets in the way of a lot of obviously good decisions. I think it's easier to run for the presidency while you're occupying an office. I think it's easier to run for the presidency when you've won something, not coming off of a loss. And I think it's easier to run for the presidency if you actually have a track record that is your own. If you were part of an administration that was unpopular, perceived to be unsuccessful, it's like you get to go now show people, I'm not Joe Biden. I here's my record. Here's what I did in California that was good. That's what you should judge me on. I think that's a more compelling narrative to have if you're going to run for president in 2028 or 2032. I will say this one thing that she has in her favor, and I don't think you can underestimate this from a Democrat perspective. When the largest constituency that we have in our party are Black Democrats, she does extraordinarily well still. Very popular. That's why she was talking about this at Reverend Sharpton's forum. There is no one right now to this moment. Not Pete Buttigieg, not a Ruben Gallego, not Cory Booker, not Gretchen Whitmer. None of these people that we're talking about, Andy Beshear, play well with Black Democrats to this point. She does. And whoever ends up emerging as a nominee in 2028, and again, I'll say it says something to me that after she talked about this, you know, our friends over at Kalshi had her 3% likelihood of being a nominee. So no one really believes it.
No one believes it.
But Democrats got to figure out how to win over Black Democrats and get them excited to vote.
Yeah, that's one thing, though. When you look at Kamala, one, she's a terrible candidate. We've seen it time and again. 2020, she dropped out before a single vote was cast. In 2024, she was thrust up onto the top of the ticket with 107 days
and
left. Again, not a single vote cast for her to be on the presidential ticket at the top of the ticket that time. But she ran, and she's just not a very good candidate. The fact that she blew $1 billion in 107 days.
That's not her fault, though. That's who
debt.
Was running the camp. That's
I mean,
the Biden
that's
fault. That's Biden's people running the show.
That's
I agree it's political malpractice,
that's
but I don't think that's her fault.
Of donations. If you can
she's
blow
not
$1 billion,
in charge of running the treasury of the campaign. That was all Biden's people, Biden's fundraisers. She just
well,
had to
then,
go
okay,
100-day
so
sprint.
Okay, so the Democrat apparatus is bad with money, apparently.
Yes,
if you're going
yes
to make
they are.
It a bigger
Absolutely.
Argument.
None of them should work on 2028 at
but
all.
She,
I have no problem with
she
that.
She is leading in the polling right now. And that is purely a reflection of name ID.
It's name ID.
When you look at it versus what people actually think is the opportunity for her, which is limited. And if I'm a Democrat, I'm not getting excited about J.B. Pritzker. I'm not getting excited about Big Gretch. The person I would think that could be a formidable candidate for Democrats, Josh Shapiro, no one's getting excited about Pete Buttigieg. They are would be
do
a
not
Josh
sleep
Shapiro.
On Andy Beshear. Andy
but
Beshear,
who, I think Andy Beshear
a Democrat
a
who won in Kentucky.
But in a weird cycle year, let's be honest. But
he's,
also
he's
here,
still a
when you look at
Kentucky.
Josh
Come
Shapiro,
on.
The reason Josh Shapiro doesn't have a chance within the Democrat Party is of their own admitted bias, which is because he is a Jewish American. Kamala Harris said it in her book that she didn't pick him, even though that would have been the right move, was because he was a Jewish Democrat. And so you're talking about how Democrats need to shore up the Black vote. right now. You've got the DNC out there last week trying to put forward a resolution that would stop money from AIPAC, the Jewish American, you know, coalition, the super PAC out there trying to keep their money out of your group. And you guys admit it. I mean, listen, when you guys talk about what coalitions you're going to need for 28, it's going to be more than just the Black Democrat vote. There is a big Jewish Democrat vote that you guys are completely alienating time and again when you get the chance. And let me tell you, word salad, Chef Kamala. welcome back to the kitchen,
okay,
my friend.
Listen,
I look forward to trying to understand what you're saying.
I think
because
that,
it never
I
makes
think
sense.
That, I think that her in 2020, which was the last time she was actually the candidate, I don't count 2024, she was a last second sub basically running a campaign that was already made for her rather than her own campaign. I think that the 8 years that will have elapsed from the 2019-20 cycle to 2027-28, I think that she will have shown that she's grown just as a human, as a candidate. I think that she will be better than she was before. I'm not saying that's going to be great. I'm not saying
that's
going to be,
she's
on
the,
but hey, you know, progress is progress. You know, I think that the one thing I've learned as a Democrat, never, ever underestimate saying, I hope that it's them. I hope, wouldn't it be great if it was them? Because when Democrats said that to Donald Trump, he ended up wiping the floor with them. So you just never know. Hubrisness,
well,
Aaron.
I feel a little more confident with Kamala as we've seen it a bit more, but I take your point. Anyways,
I mean,
really
happen.
Looking forward to 28.
We're going to have a lot to talk about between now and then, and we're going to make a lot of side bets, I suspect.
I have a feeling.
Okay. All right. Well, this was great to hop on here with all this breaking news going on. We'll see what happens next. We'll see again. Do you think, I got to ask this, Republicans have control of the House. They make the rules right now, for better or worse. Do you think that they will move forward with expulsions, even with Eric resigning?
You know, I give it 50-50 right now, right? I just don't know. I'm not hearing much coming off of the Hill. Members are coming back tonight and into tomorrow.
Right.
So once those conversations actually start in person, I give it 50-50 because it would be two Republican members right now and one Democrat. So I find that calculus a little bit harder. Could they still do a one for one?
Well, it still balances out with Eric leaving, though. It's still two.
I know, but you know how it is. Like, to vote,
I know you don't do
math, two of our own versus one of theirs. Like, that's the politics of it, right? It doesn't mean it's the right decision. It means it's the politics. So once we start getting people into the Capitol area, we'll hear. But I say it's 50-50 right now.
I think they should just vote to expel him anyway. I like, whether he resigned or not, I'd just have him on the
absolutely.
We're going to vote to expel him. Like, you can't fire me. I quit. No, we fire you for cause, period. We can't accept your resignation. You're fired.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I agree with that. I agree.
Okay. Well, we'll see. We'll be back on Thursday. We'll see where things stand then. Until then, don't forget to like and subscribe. Party lines.